101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
All Saturday night in Las Vegas. And I'm trapped in a glass box. But fortunately for everybody, I'm going to get to entertain some people. That's always exciting. So we got a great Mark Hoke Show coming up for you. The best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. Very happy to have you join us here on KDWN 101.5 FM on that FM dial. 720 AM. And, of course, all our friends listening around the world on KDWN.com. It's pretty cool. And we appreciate all of you who actually are listening from across the United States and around the world. Certainly do appreciate that. And I have double co-hosts tonight here for our Saturday edition. Let's bring them in. Let's start with our buddy James Samuel, the big man. What's up?
What's going on, boss? How you doing?
I'm doing. I think I had some Baja Blast Mountain Dew. Should I do that again before the show?
I don't know. It might get you a little bit too wired.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little peppy tonight. And
well, you don't want to stay up all the way till 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Do you know what? Maybe I should. You know what I should do? I should just turn everything off on here and just. Well, I got to let Harvey do his show, but then we can get back on at 10 and just do a show all night. We'll turn off the infomercials and then we'll run till 9 tomorrow morning.
You could produce this, all the shows for the next 12 hours.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Five and a half.
I don't know if my boss Steve would appreciate that. But actually, I think the sales team would be more mad at me. Of course, from future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, it is that. Well, that is the voice of the mighty Joe DeFalco. Joe, what's up?
This 8 p.m. is way better than that 8 a.m. one, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, beggars can't be choosers. But, you know, we get great, solid ratings in both spots, so I can't complain too much. You know whose fault that is?
Mine.
Yeah, it's you, Joe. We all know. Oh, man. But another interesting week of professional wrestling news. Right now going on, of course, guys, as we speak, they are wrapping up at least the end of an era, sorta, in Ring of Honor. Final Battle is going off this evening, and I believe they are on the World Championship match. So let me give everybody a little bit of rundown what's going on, of course.
Well, actually, it just ended because I was just on Twitter.
Okay.
And what do you mean the championship match? Why, did the champion show up?
We're going to talk about that, I promise.
Oh.
I promise. Here's what's been going on. Of course, if you don't know, Ring of Honor, for 20 years, you know, a breeding ground for amazing talent. WWE might not have had a roster if it wasn't for Ring of Honor.
They're the original future stars of wrestling.
Yeah, there you go. And just, you know, some notable matches tonight. The six-man tag championship changed hands as Vincent Bateman and Dutch beat Moses Khan and O'Shea Edwards to become the new champions on that. And Vincent's a guy that I really like, so good for him, at least for now, wrapping that up. With
Man, I can't wait to see who he's going to defend it against.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, Joe, you're just jumping the gun on me tonight. You gotta hold that sarcasm for just 2 minutes.
What do you mean? What sarcasm?
Oh, my gosh. Rhett Titus wins the four-way for the World Television title, taking the belt off Dalton Castle. Also, Silas Young and Joe Hendry in that match. Rhett gets the pin on Silas Young to win the title.
That was some run Dalton Castle had as the TV champ.
Yeah, that didn't take long, did it? And then the other title that at least so far has changed hands, no surprise here, the Briscoes are now 12-time Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, knocking off Matt Taven and Mike Bennett to win the belts. Another notable appearance tonight, by the way, for those that don't know his name, Adam Scheer, that would be Braun Strowman. Popped in and did some decimation tonight. So Braun Strowman showing up on, at least for the moment, the last Ring of Honor card until April.
Well, he's preparing himself for his possible FSW debut because, you know, he had a little Twitter back and forth with Hammerstone. So we've been talking a little bit.
Ooh, man, can we have a weightlifting contest?
We probably could. Brian Cage would want to be in on that.
Oh, God, that would be funny as hell. But anyway, so that's what's going on tonight. Of course, there's one more match. And, boy, you got to say that, you know, they've been doing some good tributes. AEW, very kind to let a lot of the former Ring of Honor alumni at least do some video packages and come in and help out a little bit. But
yeah, it was nice to see Tony Khan give himself the rub talking about it all weekend.
Yes, he was. That is very true. He was doing
I'm going to help these guys out. Like, you know, I'm going to do them this big favor.
Yeah, he did do that.
He did give them Jay Lethal. So, you know, you got to give them kudos. They didn't have to. But, you know, it seems like they're the company that would do that. You know, and I've seen it in the past. It was kind of like when WWE did it with Christian that time when he was going to get the inducted into the Hall of Fame. They were cool with it.
Yep, so I guess you said that match is just wrapped up, but Jonathan Gresham was wrestling Jay Lethal, and they called it the original Ring of Honor World Championship. They brought out the old belt because the main event got devastated when the current world champion Bandido got COVID and was unable to attend. Gresham, without question, was going to go over tonight and win that title, he could not attend.
Or Bandido didn't want to lose the title and then said, I got COVID, I can't make it.
Yeah, well, who knows what happened there. But, of course, they a lot of things that I read was they were worried Bandido is going to be headed elsewhere. They didn't want to mess with it, so they were going to switch the title tonight. Who won the match, Joe?
I'm pretty certain it was Gresham because somebody was complaining about how if EC3 didn't ramble for 10 minutes, they would have had a nice big bigger celebration for Gresham, because that was kind of like what you expected the whole thing was going to be, to, you know, solidify Gresham as the man. You know, he came out a couple weeks ago that regardless of what happens with ROH, he's there for forever and this and that and the other thing. So even if they came back, like, he basically said that he was, you know, not going anywhere in terms of leaving Ring of Honor. And obviously beating the champ for the title would have meant a lot more than beating Jay Lethal. It's kind of like back in the day, remember when, what was it? Did Taz come back to beat Mike Awesome or something? Something like that, where they brought him back from, whether it was, I think it was WWE, and they let him come back because he had the relationship with Heyman, and he destroyed Awesome to win the ECW title because Awesome wrestled like in WCW the night before or something.
Yeah, something like that. So, I've been pulling the results from, give me one second here because I changed tabs. What's website on? No, not SB Nation. I have other information for SB Nation for tonight. And I do apologize. I'll give my credit as soon as I hit the right one. But, an interesting night for Cage Side Seats. There we go. Cage Side Seats been updating tonight. But an interesting night, guys, for Ring of Honor. And I guess, you know, the big question is, where do they go from here? Is, you know, they are planning to restart everything, do some, they've got a show booked for WrestleMania weekend down in Dallas. And James, let me start with you on this. Where do you think Ring of Honor heads going forward? Or do they do it at all?
I think if they come back, you know, they're going to do a whole rebuild of the roster. And really, that's my question to you guys. What is the possibility that you guys, and we'll start off with you, Joe, you know, more experience. What is the possibility you see of Ring of Honor coming back?
Well, they're definitely not coming back in the same scenario that they left. It's like we talked about, you know, with the pandemic, GCW really just took their spot. And if they're lucky, maybe they can take GCW's old spot, which is actually pretty good. You know, Ring of Honor always stayed on the East Coast, other than when they did Sam's Town. They didn't go very far, you know, outside Chicago. They still got that fan base. But I think they need to, you know, take a step back and, you know, put together these shows. You know, the problem is when they did come back to run shows, they had no fans. GCW kept running and kept running and then started branching out in Vegas and L.A. and Dallas and Chicago and wherever. And they got that fan base, which was the old Ring of Honor fan base. And Ring of Honor had been struggling ever since, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody and all them left for AEW, that with the new influx, it just wasn't the same. And, you know, with their ownership of Sinclair, whether they made money or not, it's like it's the running joke in the wrestling business. You know, how much money was TNA and Impact losing? How much are they still losing? Like, they're funded by these billionaires, and same thing with AEW. You know, we haven't heard anything about them making money, but, you know, they're paying well. Guys are getting great jobs, you know, out of the situation. So Ring of Honor can run as long as Sinclair wants them to run. Just like they stopped because Sinclair decided they didn't want to. So, you know, inner workings, you know, I've talked to some people and, you know, they're kind of 50-50 on even if they're ever going to run again. So,
yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't come back. But I, you know, my feeling from everything that I've seen and read is they're probably going to make a core few group of guys, but then they're going to be bringing in everybody. And honestly, I kind of think that would be a good approach. Turning it into almost a super independent where you are bringing in all sorts of different talent. You can open the door to so many different matchups, but you do have a core group of guys. Obviously if these guys hold their, let's say these guys hold their titles and there's no changes or anything like that, you know, you're leading the way with a recognizable guy like Jonathan Gresham. A lot of people enjoy watching wrestle. The Briscoes, I don't know how long Rhett Titus would be the TV champ. I think that was kind of a thank you to him for being there for so long.
It's whenever their next show would be, that's how long.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. There's such a talent pool out there right now with everything that's been going on that, you know, they could put together some, you know, terrific shows, and you've still got the Sinclair TV brand behind them as well. So it's a really interesting dynamic, and you know, and I'm curious, Joe, if they called you up and said, "Hey, Joe, you know, you want to work with us a little bit, you know, what would you say, and how would you suggest that they handle moving forward?"
You know, the best scenario that's happened over the last couple of years is everybody working with everybody. You know, and AEW was smart, and they worked with Impact, and they didn't have to, and because Impact probably got the bigger rub out of that because they got Kenny Omega on their show. Now, how much it helped, who knows? You know, I always tell you, you know, Impact is a television company. They're not branching out to do live shows. And that's the thing. Impact doesn't really draw. Ring of Honor doesn't have fans at the TV tapings. They just had them at the last couple of pay-per-views. Even the last taping, they didn't have any fans there. So it's like everybody else is doing shows. Everybody's back up and running. And now you got all these other companies, the Prestiges and the Defies and the Warriors. They're all running those super shows. When we run our Mecca, you know, Ring of Honor is now just going to be another show like ours. And it's probably going to be more territorial. Like Ring of Honor is going to run, you know, a show once a month. If they do run a show in Philly, in Baltimore, in New York City, but I don't see them going on the road. They haven't gone on the road in over 2 years. So now they're just like Warrior Wrestling. They got a show tomorrow. and they got a bunch of great indie talent on it. We have the Mecca coming up, and we got Cross, and we got Scarlett, and we got Davey Richards, and we got Brian Cage, and we got Hammerstone, and we got Chris Bay. And, you know, why is it any different? You know, so now all of a sudden Ring of Honor is just going to be lumped in with everybody else. So, you know, unless they sign Aggression to an exclusive contract, and then again, why would they? Even if they did three shows a month, are they going to pay this guy enough money for him not to work those other 10 shows this month?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. And, I almost wonder if, I'm curious to hear what you guys think. This idea is almost trying to recreate the NWA in the territory days. You know, you mentioned territorial, and I almost wonder if Ring of Honor, because of the television contract, being part of Sinclair, obviously, would have the leverage to maybe take a lot of these, independent, really good independent promotions and put them together, maybe have their own world champion that travel and put all of you guys like your promotion, Joe, and Reality of Wrestling and other ones on Sinclair, and kind of have team everybody up, and then have a few super cards with all the independents would be working together. I almost wonder if that's something that is that something that would be possible to pull off?
Dave Marquez is trying to do that with the United Wrestling Network. And the problem is, we've talked and we kind of came to agreements on things and things didn't work out. It's like, they can't just benefit him. They have to benefit both parties.
Right.
And we had issues because it wasn't really benefiting us. So now they've gone out and they used some of our guys on the United Wrestling Network. We were going to do some stuff together. And then all of a sudden that kind of fell through. And now they had their tournament. And it was like, okay, well, if there's FSW and West Coast Pro and these other companies, and you're going to have a tournament, why is Hammerstone not representing FSW if you're looking for the champion? And, Chris Dickinson, who's awesome, he's the United Wrestling Network champion. And that's great. But it's like, if we're part of this group and, they used Lacey Ryan and they used a bunch of our people on that United Wrestling when they were doing the weekly pay-per-view, when they did the stuff with the NWA, it's like, well, isn't that how it should be? FSW has a representative. We're going to do an 8-man tournament, and it's going to be FSW's champ, and it's going to be West Coast Pro's champ, and it's going to be this guy's champ. And now we're going to have 8 guys battle it out. You looked at the 8 guys, and it was like, okay, well, 5 of them have absolutely no shot of winning. And if they did win, it's not really going to be helpful for people to get behind this company. And, there's a lot of egos. Mm-hmm. I don't have an ego. I worked with GCW, and we had GCW versus FSW. And I thought we were going to do more of a joint show, but Brett and GCW basically let me put the entire show together. And we did 8 matches, and it was, 9 matches, and it was tied. And GCW won when Nick Gage and AJ Gray won the last match. Like, I didn't book our guys to win because it was at my show and it was at my arena. It's like, I'm trying to do what's best for business. I know that GCW is giving FSW the rub. I'm not looking around acting like we're on an equal level. We do very well, but I'm also not delusional. And, a lot of times these other companies think they're bigger than they are. And then that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah,
and it becomes difficult.
James, what do you think about that idea? Do you think that maybe trying to do something to recreate the old NWA territory days could possibly work?
I think that's the way, for the other little promotions to get, some traction, and really, I don't see what's wrong with that, actually, to go back to those days and have it, a little bit more competition-based, try to bring, the recruiting back to, the wrestling industry. I don't really see nothing wrong with that too much.
Yeah, it would be a matter of politics. And Joe, obviously, when you, the more you put people, the more people you put in a room, the harder it is to come to a consensus. That's for sure. And You know, where Ring of Honor is going to end up from here, boy, it is anybody's guess. But, you know, I think I'm going to drop an email to Joe Kopp after this is all, Joe Kopp after this is over, and say hi and see what they're thinking. So it'll be.
Man, hire me as a scout. Man, they'll come back. Don't worry about it.
There you go. And, of course, this is the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 7:20 a.m. We're talking pro wrestling. That's what we do. Joe DeFalco and James Samuel, along with myself, Mark Hoke. And, we've got about 4 minutes here. So I don't want to get too much into Jeff Hardy yet, but we'll tease that. We're gonna talk about what happened with the man from Cameron, North Carolina, in a little bit. But I do want to get a little bit into War Games and what happened in there and what's going to happen with Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly. Of course, O'Reilly was flashing Undisputed Era signs in the ring in his match and then got clobbered on his last NXT broadcast, and Johnny Gargano did too. But he got to at least talk. Guys, if you saw War Games, what did you think of it? And what is the future for Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly? And James, I'll give you the first shot at it.
Well, I would say, I haven't watched 1 second of NXT since they put those colors up. But, I haven't seen a larger drop off in quality to me from the NXT 1 to this 2.0. It's just horrendous, in my opinion.
Wow, Joe? You want to respond to that?
Well, you know, I'm very fond of Steiner's kid, of course, Sepha, you know, but. You know, Ciampa is going to fall by the wayside soon. If his contract was up, they weren't going to sign him. It's like, we know, you know, where's Johnny Gargano going? Where do you think he's going? He ain't going to Ring of Honor. He ain't going to Impact. And, his buddies are in AEW. And Kyle O'Reilly's going to go to AEW. And Kevin Steen's going to go to AEW. And Sami Zayn, if his contract's up soon enough, he's going to go to AEW. And Jeff Hardy, he's going to go to AEW. You know, we already talked about, like, they were already teasing this 6 months ago or 3 months ago about the Hardys. And it's like, well, Jeff's under contract. Now, all of a sudden, Jeff's not under contract.
Yeah, that's something. And we're gonna talk about that situation a little bit. Well, the one guy I do wonder about is if Gargano is going, may possibly stay on and still work with NXT. I think there's a possibility of that, just the way things went down there on that last show. I can't see WWE giving him a platform like they did and then have him get attacked at the end of it without it possibly going somewhere. Now, he's not under contract, and of course he's getting ready to have a baby soon, so I'm sure he wants the time off. But, you know, I think there is a possibility Gargano comes back as maybe a part-timer or working behind the scenes with NXT with everything that's happening with him.
I can see that, but I can see that in 4 years. I don't see that in 6 months just because his wife's there. You know, it's like, you know, he is right now in a prime position to sign a 2 or 3 year deal where he's going to make really good money because AEW is paying really good money to everybody they sign. So, you know, how much was Gargano really making? It was NXT. So he might've had a great NXT contract, but it would probably have been a low end contract if he was getting paid WWE money. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's totally different.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to be surprised to see Johnny end up on AEW. They do have a lot of guys like Johnny on there, so I'm not sure where he's going to fit in, but we'll find out. All right, we're going to get ready to head to break here in just a second, but we want to remind everybody you can download the podcast at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. Follow us on Facebook at the Mark Hoke Show, on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. And we're going to take a break. And we come back, we're going to tell you, in case you missed it, what happened with Jeff Hardy. Oh, my goodness. It's another Hardy controversy and much more. So stick around, everybody, and we will be right back on the Mark Hoke Show in just a little bit. Stick around.
Hey.
101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
All right, and we are back on the Mark Hoke Show, the number one professional wrestling show here in Las Vegas, working on the world. We're getting there. And, of course, I am joined by James Samuel and future stars of wrestling overlord, King Masker Joe DeFalco. Guys,
we had Davey Richards yesterday. He is awesome.
Yeah, I love to meet Davey. You can get Davey on the show for me. I know you got to talk to him on your podcast.
Yeah, no doubt. He definitely loves Vegas. Him and Jacob Austin Young had an amazing match, and it's like it's the first time I've seen Davey's live. You know what I mean? And it was just like, wow. It's just like even at the seminar, where unfortunately nowhere near enough of the students took advantage, especially the tag teams that we have. Like, if you can't learn from Davey Richards,
you guys are obviously
you're not wanting to really do this, you know. And I always say there's people that just want to say they're wrestlers when they're really not, and it's pretty disappointing. Trey Miguel and Matt Vandegrift was excellent. The entire card, you know, was super. And Davey will be back in February. He's asking about March dates. He really wants to be here, you know, as often as possible. And, you know, it was great to have him.
Yeah, the American Wolves, what a tag team.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, because he beat Jacob Austin Young in the opening match, and in the elimination match, Jake's partner, they were former tag champs from Death Proof, Cutthroat Cody. So we're talking about maybe having an American Wolf reunion at the Mecca show.
Oh, geez, Joe, make sure you save me a seat.
You know, that's it.
Please.
We are trying to load that one up as much as possible. But the big thing, we're doing as big a toy drive as possible on the 23rd, that if people bring a unwrapped toy, we're giving them free admission into the show. We're doing a raffle. We're doing an auction. You can be, you know, co-hosting the DeFalco Files on the podcast. You know, you can, you know, Remy Marcel is going to defend the Nevada State title. You know, you can bid to be his manager for the show. You know what I mean? It's like guest commentator, you know, things like that. You know, we think we can get a lot of toys and raise a lot of money for a good cause. So,
well, there you go. Make sure you go to fswvegas.com. And, Joe, I will just say this. I'll volunteer to do all those things and even be the water boy. I'll carry the spit bucket.
Yeah, we need somebody to grab the gear sometimes, you know.
I'm in. All you got to do is ask, my friend. It's all good. All right. So, Jeff Hardy. An interesting controversy here. And the other night, Jeff was doing a house show in a six-man tag match. Didn't really seem to be doing anything out of the ordinary. And then all of a sudden got a little sluggish. Tags out. And walks out through the crowd. Just gone. And they yank him from the next house show, ask him if he wants to do rehab, apparently, and he said no. And Jeff Hardy was released from WWE when it looked like he was actually headed for a pretty good push. And, you know, the sad part for me was I just watched that Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin and Jeff Hardy. And I was kind of getting excited to see Jeff make one more run, believe it or not. I've always liked the Hardy Boys. I was never a massive Hardy Boy fan, even though, you know, they're terrific, don't get me wrong. But just to see Jeff seeming like he had his life in order, now this happens. But I got to ask you guys a question. With them talking about doing a Hardy Boy reunion, is there any chance this was a work? James?
I think it's half and half. Like, when it first happened, I like was so, you know, confused. I'm like, okay, this was on the Broken Skull talking about, you know, how he learned from his mistakes. And then he said that the biggest mistake he had in his life was when they offered him rehab. That time he said no. So he says no now, which when he identified that was a mistake. So I was very confused upon this.
I think what the end game of this is going to be him and Matt Hardy reuniting, but I think everyone is expecting them to be Team Extreme there, but they won't be. I think they'll be the broken Hardy boys. I think they're going to go that route.
Yeah, this is it. There's just some things that just to me don't totally add up on this. But Joe, I know you've worked with the Hardys before. What were your thoughts when you saw all this go down and Jeff getting released? And by the way, he is on a 90-day no compete clause, so he won't be able to wrestle for
him at the Mecca.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we could have did Jeff Hardy versus Kevin Cross.
You know, and I thought of that match today when I was getting ready doing the show prep. I was like, there's not quite enough time, but boy, that would have been fun. But, you know, what, Joe, what do you think's really going on? And, I mean, do you think that Jeff relapsed again? Or,
you know,
maybe this is some elaborate plan to get out of WWE?
Being in the wrestling business, you never take anything you see at face value, okay? So I look at it and think, hey, this guy really wants to team with Matt. And it ain't happening in WWE because it did, and they kind of buried the whole idea. This is the perfect way for him to finally get out of the contract. And, you know, but the thing is, it was like, you know what? I could have seen it 6-8 months ago when they were burying him and he's losing to Corbin, he's losing to Elias. Now they actually look like they were trying to get behind him. So it makes me believe that it has to be real. But it's the same thing when, you know, the Roman Reigns leukemia angle that, you know, I'm like, see, they finally got the guy over. They finally got him to get cheered, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I can't believe you think that. I'm like, well, I don't necessarily believe it, but I still don't necessarily believe that they wouldn't do it. So as long as you have that thought process, you know, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, he relapsed because he was drunk that day. Like, okay, I get it. He's an alcoholic. He had some issues. Well, from what I understand from hearing like Jake the Snake and all these people, that a lot of times people fall off the wagon and they fall off the wagon. And Scott Hall, how bad was Scott Hall? That dude wasn't going to live. Everybody said, oh, this guy's going to die. And, you know, he got messed up, and then all of a sudden he was back 6 months ago, and he was good for 6 months and got messed up again, and he kept doing it over and over again. And now for the last few years, Scott Hall seems to be okay. So it's like for them to kind of give up on Jeff Hardy that quick just seems weird to me.
And I agree. That happens so fast because I would think that if he really did have a bad relapse, number one, you know, I keep going back to Victory Road. And for those that didn't see that, he was gone. He was absolutely gone. And they had to run Eric Bischoff out and have Sting hold him down in 20 seconds, pin it, and get him off the main event of pay-per-view because he was that messed up.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Here, apparently nobody noticed anything. Everything said it was fine. And Drew McIntyre even joked, hey, if you see our tag team partner, could you find him? This whole thing, there's just something off about it. And I don't know if WWE may be trying to set him up for something and bring him back, or if Jeff maybe wanted to fake something to get out of the contract. But you know, given what he had just said on the Broken Skull sessions, and James, that was a terrific point. If he fell off the wagon, I would think that he would have been willing to go into rehab and keep his contract. So, I mean, there's something not coming together about this puzzle. So, Joe, go ahead. I mean,
again, it totally makes sense, but don't think because he's making a lot of money that he was going to be like, well, he didn't want to get out of the contract. You know, he signed with TNA because he didn't want to work a lot of dates, and he was happy with the money he got. He's supposed to, you know, he lives a modest life in North Carolina, you know, so that I don't think has anything to do with it. Now, WWE has been very, very good to him, you know, but You know, there was inklings like, oh, Bray Wyatt's going to come back. I heard that from some people. Oh, Braun Strowman, he's coming back. It's all the work. And I'm pretty sure it isn't. You know what I mean? Because people want to believe. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, the best storylines in wrestling is the reality mm-hmm. of wrestling.
Yep.
It's not what we're watching. It's not the storylines we're watching. It's seeing things that are happening and you're hoping that something's going to come of it. And then usually it just passes time, like Bray Wyatt, nowhere to be seen. You know, Strowman finally made an appearance, and it's just like, wow, you know, people want to believe something cool is going to happen based off what they're seeing, and then usually it's nothing, unfortunately. And it's just like the storylines they make, nothing.
And my question to both of you guys is this. Let's say that he had a relapse, and, you know, he's drinking or doing whatever and is coming to the ring messed up again. And Joe, you are on promotion, so I'm sure you'll have a pretty interesting answer to this. But let me ask James, if you're running a promotion and you find out that this is the case, do you want Jeff Hardy working your card? Is he safe to work with for other people? Would you take a shot to put Jeff Hardy on a card if you were booking it, James?
I would say no, because if I'm running promotion, obviously I'm not WWE. And if WWE had all those resources and all that money to throw at him and all those, you know, reasons for him to be clean and he didn't do it there, I'm pretty sure he's not going to do it for my little promotion either. So I think that's what I think promotions need to take in account with you know, contracting him.
So, Joe, I'm going to ask you, because it's your job, what do you think?
Yeah, here's the deal. You know, going back to Scott Hall, you know, here's a guy. Guys that are at that level a lot of times want to be paid in advance, okay? And I remember back in the day, you know, we're talking with Matt and all the other stuff, you know, getting Jeff Hardy, you know, at a good discount rate was like $7,000. For me to put up $7,000 that I'm not going to get back because Jeff Hardy might be a little messed up, yeah, you know, that is, you know, that could ruin you for months going, because now people want, now not only did you pay Jeff Hardy $7,000, he's the reason why people are buying these meet and greets and all this other stuff, because part of the deal with Jeff was, not that we got him, we were talking, but the idea was, you know, he does the meet and greets and we get all the money back from it. So you get to keep the merch money. Okay. So now if somebody paid $50 and we had 50 people pay $50, that's another $2,500 that I have to now give back as a refund, because not only did he not do the meet and greet, now how many people are going to want to ask for refunds because he didn't wrestle on the show either? And it's like, you know, I can't go out there and be $12,000 in the hole on a show. You know, obviously, if he was in the type of shape he was in at the TNA pay-per-view, you know, you almost have to believe that nobody would allow him to go out there. But even TNA allowed him to go out there. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, you need to do what's best. But let's go back in time. You know, you heard of so many wrestlers that they were always on pain pills. And, you know, I remember talking to one of the guys on our show and, you know, seemed fine during the show, blah, blah, blah. Then we started talking afterwards. And then he started with the slurred speech. And I'm like, dude, this dude's pilled up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, later on you found out, you know, through the grapevine that, you know, he kind of went to rehab for it because of the pain pills and stuff like that. So it was prevalent in wrestling, whether it was cocaine or pain pills.
Yeah.
Back in the day, cocaine was the drug of choice.
Oh, Roddy Piper was a king of that. Well, let me ask you, Joe, let me ask you this. If you know, Jeff was like, okay, my career got destroyed. If he came to you and said, you know, I'll do a show for $750 or $1,000. Would you still be willing to take a chance on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, because again, it's like, okay, so he drank too much that day is what we're supposedly the story. It was, he was drunk, You know, was he drugged up? You know, we don't know. So, you know, it's kind of like the cancel culture. You know, so much stuff got put out there that some people got, you know, lopped into, you know, along with Joey Ryan. And maybe what they did was far less, but now it just became this blanket thing where a lot of wrestlers lost their careers. And, you know, many of them rightfully so, but there were some that, despite the situation or nothing being proved, you know, it's hearsay. And people hear it, and that's all that matters, you know. And, you know, we live in a crazy world now, you know. Back in the day, you know, half the wrestlers could be high on coke and nobody cared.
Wow, that is something. So, yeah, you know, I guess I'd be curious to see if Jeff is going to, you know, if, because, you know, I guess the whole thing is that this has been so secretive that nobody's really, at least yet, come out and said exactly what state Jeff was in or why he did it. So,
but what you need to understand is there's that, okay, so that's what happened at the house show, where it was an embarrassing situation in front of a live audience, people seen it. We don't know if this has been an issue for the last 6 months. Maybe that's the reason why Jeff Hardy was losing to Baron Corbin and Elias and everybody else, despite the crowd going crazy for this guy. We don't know.
Well, so then why give him this recent push back? Why would you do that? If you were that worried about him, why would you? You know, he was one of the last people, nearly the last people staying in Survivor Series. He's been winning. So if he's that much of a trouble, why are you even giving him anything like that?
I guess I can't answer that. But the thing is that, again, it may not be perceived as a huge problem. It may be it's a problem. And, you know, some days he's great, some days he's not. You know, it's the life of a wrestler on the road. You know, it's Jeff Hardy. He's got 20 years in the business. You know, he's done a lot of great things. And if you did notice over the last 6 months, even when he was losing, like, all of a sudden, like, he became like this superhero figure again, to where people saw him losing. And they were kind of really rallying behind him. Like, right. They wanted to see this guy be on top again, because when you watched him wrestle, you didn't look at it and say, oh, he's an old guy. He's a shell of what he was. You know, Jeff Hardy was still, you know, electrifying in the ring. And the fans love him, you know.
Yeah. So this is going to be a very interesting saga to follow and find out what's really going on with Jeff Hardy. So, and I'm sure you, me, and Fish are going to have a pretty good conversation about this tomorrow on the Mark Hoke Show at 8 a.m. here on Pacific Time, here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 7:20 a.m., the talk of Las Vegas. I want to throw something out here. One thing I wanted to mention about War Games real quick, because we talked about people that aren't going to fit the profile of people that are going to be wrestling on NXT. Watching that tag team match with Imperium, and if you didn't see these guys, I mean, they're incredible. And, of course, they're teamed with Walter. You've got the main event coming up on that day one where you've got Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, which seems like a really odd, out-of-place match. And we've been seeing some little bit of stuff about Walter. We see how well Imperium performs. Is there, guys, do you think there's any chance that Walter and Imperium is going to show up here leading up to WrestleMania, with the Royal Rumble coming up too? Because I got to tell you, Imperium looks great, and you put Walter into this mix with Reigns and Brock Lesnar, man, you're going to sell some tickets. So, James, let me ask you about that first. Do we see Imperium and Walter showing up here at all on the main roster?
I think that Walter is going to – I think how WWE has the pattern they've shown – I think that Walter will be on a brand and Imperium will be on another. That doesn't make any sense, but I really feel that's what they're going to do. And I have a feeling that Walter is going to be on Raw. I feel like they're
really
going to push him as to be the monster heel on Raw.
Wow, that's an interesting concept. Joe, what do you think?
I think it would make absolutely zero sense to have Walter involved with Reigns and Lesnar. You need to build the guy to be the monster first, because, you know, how many WWE fans are that up on NXT? Look at Cross. It, you know, when he first came up, you know, he dominated people, but his character without Scarlett and stuff like that was a work in progress on the main roster because he was not familiar to the majority of the fans. And Walter is not going to be familiar to the majority of WWE fans. If he comes out and lays out Brock Lesnar, it's like, who the hell is this guy? You know, and, you know, they need to go back to the old days when, you know, they bring in Earthquake and he demolishes people for 3 months of the whole of the jobbers, and then he goes through the mid-carders, and then all of a sudden he's wrestling Hogan for the title. But you got to give that six-month build to try to get the character over.
So that time between, you know, let's just throw a scenario. Let's say he shows up in the Royal Rumble. That wouldn't be enough time between there and WrestleMania to set something up, you don't think? Is that too short?
Not really. The end of January, you got 2 months. You know, I don't know. How long did it take them to really get behind Drew McIntyre? And, you know, Drew had all the inklings, and Drew's got a great personality, and he's in great shape, and he's got a great accent, and he can work. So, but it took them a long time to really say, okay, we're going to have Drew take out Brock Lesnar. And, you know, when it finally happened, people cared because when Drew finally got over, it wasn't like, the bottom line was, it was like he should have been over 3 months ago. So WWE never wants to, like, jump the gun. They don't want to make Drew McIntyre be put in the spot 3 months early. They'd rather be put in that spot 3 months late.
Yep. All right. Well, it's interesting speculation there. One other thing that happened this week, and it actually didn't happen on SmackDown. There was a dark match after the SmackDown tapings, and this was pretty interesting to me. We had a four-way between Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Charlotte on SmackDown. And this one ended up with Sasha Banks pinning Becky Lynch in this dark match. And, you know, of course, it wasn't on TV, but it's all over the internet. Guys, what do you think about that kind of a dark match going off and Becky Lynch taking a pinfall to Sasha Banks? James?
I think they're kind of foreshadowing a Four Horsemen angle. You know what I mean? The Four Horsewomen, I'm sorry. So I think once Bayley comes back, I think they're going to really be pushing that. And I think they're going to try to have that match at WrestleMania, the four of them.
Wow. You know, I can't remember if she's going to be back in time or not for that. That could be a SummerSlam match, but that's an interesting possibility. Joe, you put that match together on a dark match, the word gets out. What are you thinking when you hear that?
Yeah, word always gets out now, and they always have these big-time matches a lot of times after the fact, and, you know, it kind of gets forgotten, you know. It's the hot thing for right after SmackDown, and 2 days later, everybody's going to be talking about Monday Night Raw, and again, because the way the storylines are written now, I beat you, you beat me, we have a tag match. There's never a finality in any feud in WWE unless the person leaves to go to AEW. They're just going from point A to point B to point C to point D, you know, and they're going on. And it was like, I guess they felt that was, you know, the best match to put on, you know, as a dark match because they, you know, they're trying to sell tickets. They probably, you know, they obviously advertise those matches in the, you know, on local radio and TV or whatever, you know, hoping it gets people because, you know, what we've seen recently is they're not selling a lot of tickets, period.
Yeah, they got outsold at the USB Center up in Long Island by AEW by a lot. It was three or fourth. I think it was about 3,500 tickets somewhere in there. So, yeah, I think you definitely have a point there.
One more thing coming up. We've got about a minute and a half to go. Winter is coming on AEW, the big show coming up this week on Wednesday night on Dynamite. And the showdown is about to happen. Hangman Adam Page and Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Championship. Guys, who is walking out with the AEW World title? James.
Oh, ratings are down. They got to put it on Danielson. I told you, you know, Adam Page, they wanted to push him, but there's way more stars on that roster than Adam Page.
James?
I think Page, only because they did a year-long angle to get him the belt. I do agree with Joe, the ratings are down, but I don't think they're going to pull the plugs that quickly.
Yeah, this is an intriguing, because I know we talked a little bit on Sunday last week about how we've almost got a mini elimination tournament with Paige and Danielson and MJF and CM Punk, that eventually the winners are going to collide for the title. So this could be some really interesting entertainment, to say the least.
I just don't see Danielson taking a pin, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I definitely don't. Yeah, this is... Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue in this match, so we'll see what happens. But I think Danielson's probably going to find a way to walk out too. But we'll see. Well, guys, great show. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. James Samuel, Joe DeFalco, Future Stars of Wrestling. Make sure you get fswvegas.com. Check him out, and of course, a little old me, Mark Hoke. Head over to markhokeshow.com website, and also of course, Mark Hoke Show for Twitter and The Mark Oak Show for Facebook. Guys, Harvey Hyde coming up with the Trojan Football Report. Stick around.